As some of you may already know, Rebecca and I are in the process of building a house at the moment. And recently we have been discussing the prospect of putting solar in this new house. And coincidentally, discussing putting solar in our house, a friendly man comes to our doorstep looking to sell us some solar. Pretty convenient, right? Well, Beck was convinced pretty well straight away, sign on the dotted line. I was a little bit more skeptical and I wanted a second opinion. And so we asked our builder what he thought about door-to-door solar salesmen. And as you can probably imagine, he was very quick to warn us against getting solar from just anybody. And he was very quickly able to rattle off loads of stories of botchy solar jobs. I can see Kylie nodding down there, that were ineffective, cheap and nasty, and in a few cases, they were even illegal. So as you can see, there are certainly times in life when people can appear really helpful to us. They can appear favourable, but in actual fact, we actually seriously need to be warned against trusting them and going with them. And that's what we see happening in our passage tonight. John writes to the church in order to warn them about some false teachers who he calls antichrists. So tonight we're going to break this passage down, and if you do have your Bibles, it would be good to follow along in them. So we're going to see three things tonight. We're going to look at who exactly these false teachers are. We're going to see how the church is supposed to respond to these men. And we're going to look at who the true teacher is. So firstly, let's start with who these false teachers were. Thank you, James. So verse 18 and 19 tells us that many antichrists have come and gone out into the world. And then verse 22 explains that an antichrist is someone who denies the Father and the Son. So antichrist is a fitting name for these false teachers because they are anti-Christ. It means that they are against Jesus, they oppose him, and they are enemies of him. And specifically, we're told they deny two teachings, that Jesus was the Christ, and that he came in human flesh. And so this means that they don't only just reject and oppose Jesus and the gospel, but they also oppose and reject God the Father as well. But interestingly, as you can see in verse 19, these antichrists originally went out from John and his disciples. So that originally they would have seemed like they were actually Christians. And even still now, they probably might give the appearance that they are at least believers in God, a version of God. But if you press them, their teaching about Christ proves not only that they don't know him, but actually also that they're actively against him in what they believe. But the method of these men is deception. In verse 26, John highlights that these men were trying to deceive the church. And so you can pretty much put it down to the fact that they are liars. They're cunning, crafty liars. And so, of course, their goal is actually to lead people away from Christ. But to do this, they would have been employing sophisticated illusions in order to actually seem like their truth was the real truth. And I can give you a really good example from the Jehovah's Witness after this, if you'd like, about the nature of Christ. But the bottom line is, these men were super cunning in the way that they went about their teaching. Peter, the Apostle Peter, puts it in his second letter, they secretly introduced destructive heresies. So this means that their false teaching was actually done in secret. It was like a ninja. It was always hidden and distracting. Take the prosperity gospel, for example. This teaches that if you follow Jesus, then you're going to have a really healthy life. You're going to be really blessed in your emotions. You're going to be really wealthy. That's the prosperity gospel. So they take the name of Jesus and they use it, but really it's not actually about the gospel. It's not about the ministry of Christ and what he did on the cross for us. That's deleted from the prosperity gospel. So you can see that the method of these men is deception. And Jesus, in fact, he actually foretold of these sorts of people. He described them as wolves in sheep's clothing. This is what he says in Matthew 7:15. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly, listen to this, they're not just wolves, they are ferocious wolves. Not just wolves, but ferocious wolves. So this is a bit of an introduction to the antichrists that John is warning about in our passage. They reject and deny Jesus, but they can also, at that same time, give the impression that they are the good guys and they have the truth. So some wisdom and discernment is obviously required. But as you can imagine, these false teachers, ferocious wolves, they actually pose quite a threat to the church. And so that's why John is writing to the church to warn them about these guys. So, Jim Bob, I'll get you to click on to the next one. So this is part of the reason, as I said, that John is writing to the church, because he actually wants them to know how to deal with this issue. And so this is what we're going to look at now. How does John say the church should actually respond to antichrists? So first of all, awareness is really important. John writes to the church because he wants them to be aware that people deny and oppose Jesus, and these people that do it are called antichrists and false teachers. If you don't know something, you can't know what you don't know. So obviously he has to tell them so that they do know. And as I said, it does seem a bit obvious that he would have to point this out. But as I said, they are deceivers. They come across and they seem like they are the good guys, like sheep, even though they're actually ferocious wolves. And even though it says later on that it says later on that the church knows the truth, even though they know the truth, it's still possible for them to be a little bit confused and even have some doubts because of the arguments and the teachings that these people are making. And so this awareness that John is encouraging in the church is actually something that's really important for us as well. Because there are still people out there today who are anti-Christ. And sometimes it actually seems like these are really Christian people. And sometimes they're pastors and they're teachers. And that's a really scary thought, that pastors and teachers across the world can be false teachers, and that many people can listen to them and be led astray by their teaching. And part of the reason that people are led astray by their teaching is because it's enticing. And sometimes it's even convincing that, hey, this is actually true. This is the Bible, you know, what it says about Jesus, that's not true. What this guy is saying is true. But as I've said, the reality is these guys are ferocious wolves in sheep's clothing. And so we do need to be aware of this matter. As I said, particularly with the internet, literally you could just pop onto your computer and scroll through your Facebook feed. Maybe it's more so on my Facebook feed because I follow some churches, but even on your Instagram, you can get little snippets of people popping up preaching. And sometimes I listen to them, I'm like, hold on, that's not right. But if you're not careful, you can actually be led astray by the things that you engage with online. And so it's important for us to think about this. Now, on top of just being aware, John has a few more insights about what to do with false teachers when you become aware of them. So in verse 24, he says, "Let what you heard from the beginning abide another way of saying that is remain in you. So let what you heard from the beginning remain in you. So in other words, what he's saying is believe in the gospel. Really believe in the gospel. This means that we believe in the person of Jesus. We believe in the work that he did, his life, his death, and his resurrection. And we believe everything that that means for our lives. It's not just a doctrine that we agree with in our minds. It's actually something that we believe in, we put our faith in, and we hold to this message. And when we do this, it actually makes us stronger in against people who are trying to deceive us and to come against us. The greater our faith and our knowledge of God is, the stronger we are going to be against false teachers. As I've said, the false teacher's weapon of choice is deceit. So they're going to try and argue, twist words, manipulate, anything they can to convince people that they have somehow got the right message and we've got the wrong message. There's actually a really good example in Genesis 3, in the garden with the snake and Adam and Eve. So he deceived Adam and Eve by taking God's words. He took God's words and he actually manipulates them and he twists them. And he manipulates them and he twists them just enough for Adam and Eve to actually doubt what God has said to them and to then go and disobey what God has said. And this is the same with the Antichrist and the false teachers. Their strategy is actually to use God's word, use the Bible, use the name of Jesus. Like, as I said before, the JWs have Jesus in their religion. Even the prosperity gospel, it's all about Jesus, but it's all about Jesus making you rich and making you healthy. They take the name of Jesus and then they manipulate it and then they twist it for their own purposes. And so this is something that we need to be aware of, and it's something that we need to be strong in our faith if we're going to stand against. And to do this, we're actually going to need to remain strong in what the truth is. And in order to do this, we actually have to grow in our faith. And to grow in our faith, we actually have to grow in our relationship with God. And we can do this by being devoted to him, by reading his word, actually reading his word and spending time with him when we pray. These actually need to be things that we do if we are to have fellowship with God and to grow in our relationship with him. It's like anybody. If you didn't spend time with a person, you wouldn't have a very good relationship with them. And the same goes, exactly the same thing goes for our relationship with God. If we don't spend time with him, then we're not going to have a very good relationship with him. And so we actually need to make him and spending time with him a priority in our lives so that we can grow and so that we can be strong in our faith. Now, before we move on, John has just a couple more tips for the church and for us to respond to this Antichrist issue. So in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, John tells the church to test the spirits to see whether they are from God or not. So this means that you actually have to take whatever it is that you've heard online or whether you've read it in a book, you actually have to take it and you actually have to examine it and put it to the test. You could ask questions like this. What do these people actually say about God? What do they say about Jesus? What do they say that the gospel is? What do they say about sin or not say about sin? And what do they say about God's grace? If we start to apply these questions to the things that we engage with, wider than this, it is actually going to be able to give us a picture about whether or not a person is a false teacher or not. So if it's a new preacher that you're considering, like you just came across somebody on YouTube, you've got to ask these questions. But even if you already listen to people and you've never really thought about it, then it's a good thing to actually go and think about what they're saying. You know, where does Jesus fit into their message? Because if Jesus isn't there, or if he's not really important, like he's just the thing that helps you get your big boat or whatever, then do not trust these teachers. Get rid of them. And in addition to this, I would tell other people not to listen to them either, unless you're trying to give them an example of what a false teacher looks like. The fact is that online and in Christian books, there are literally so many good Bible teachers that you have no need to read a bad one, and you certainly don't have any need to even listen to or read a slightly questionable one, because there is literally that many good ones out there on the interwebs. And this is the same instruction that John gives in his second letter. In this, he explicitly says to the church, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting. If you hear something and you go, actually, no, this person is, they're not saying the right thing, don't listen to them anymore. Don't try and follow their teaching. Don't have anything to do with them. And I have had this conversation with people, and one thing that I have heard is, but they've got some other good stuff to say, like don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. But actually, God in his word is a lot more, he's a lot stronger than this. He's a lot more cautious than this. And I think the reason for that is, if they've got the gospel wrong, if they've got who Jesus is wrong, then everything, there'll be stuff woven throughout everything they say that is actually distracting you. It's that deceit that's supposed to lead you away from Christ instead of towards him. So, unsubscribe, unfollow, stop listening, whatever it might be. That is the simple solution, and it's also the biblical solution as well. So now that we might be a bit more aware of the threat of Antichrist, I've been talking about now for 15 minutes, it's important that we take this warning to heart and that we think deeply about the teaching of people that we might listen to. If we stay strong in our faith and in our relationship with Christ, then we're not only going to be able to identify who these false teachers are, but we're actually going to have the capacity to be strong against them, even if they're trying to distract us. Because it doesn't have to be someone you engage with online. It could be a friend or a family member who's trying to lead you astray, even if they don't know that that's their intention. So, James, I'll get you to pop on to the next one. Now that we have considered who not to listen to, we should also consider, and this is really important, what John says, or who John says, is the true teacher. Now, for a particular reason, which I won't go into now, John is a bit cryptic about who this teacher is. In verse 20 and verse 27, he refers to the anointing. And in verse 27, we also hear that this anointing was given to us and it remains or abides in us. And it teaches us about everything. So you've got three characteristics there. The anointing is given to us, it dwells inside of us, and it teaches us as well. And when you take these three characteristics and then you compare them with what John actually teaches in his gospel, then it does become clear what these three characteristics or who they actually apply to. So listen to John chapter 14, verses 16 to 19. I'll ask the Father and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him or knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and he will be in you. Pardon me. So there you have the helper, or the Holy Spirit, and he is the third person of the Trinity given by God. So there's one thing, given by God to live or to dwell inside of us. And then listen to what he says in verse 26 of the same chapter. This is John writing again. The help of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you to remembrance of all that I have said to you. So there you've got the three characteristics of being given by God, dwelling inside of you, and teaching you, and they are applied to both the anointing and the Holy Spirit. And the reason they're applied to both is because it's not both, it's one, it's the same. The true teacher, our true teacher, is actually the Holy Spirit, which is God living inside of us. And he is given to help us to understand what the truth really is. So you definitely could find particular speakers or even specific sermons or books really helpful for understanding stuff about Jesus and about God. And you might actually even prefer listening to things instead of reading the Bible for yourself. But the truth is that your understanding of the gospel doesn't come from the good explanations of anybody else. It doesn't come from your ability to think critically. And it doesn't come from being smart or intellectual. The understanding that we have of the gospel actually comes from the true teacher, which is the Holy Spirit. It's kind of like this. He is a spiritual translator inside of us. So if you were to flick on the foreign news, you wouldn't understand any of it. It would just be, unless you spoke the language, completely gibberish to you. But if you had subtitles, wouldn't matter what language it is, because you could actually follow it, you could understand it. And this is like the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit takes the scriptures and it takes the actual things that are true and real about our world, and it actually translates those things in our hearts so that we can understand the gospel, so that we can understand who Jesus is. And this is the greatest encouragement that you can possibly have when it comes to the matters of antichrists or false teachers. If you are a believer in Christ, if you believe in Jesus, then every single one of us has the Holy Spirit, or literally the world's best teacher, living inside of us. And so this gives us confidence that when we pick up our Bibles and we try and understand who this God character is, what he has done for us, what all the gospel business is about, it actually gives us confidence that to understand this and to know the truth. That is what the Holy Spirit does. That's his ministry. And so as we bring this to a close, on one hand over here, you've got the antichrists who are deceivers, they're liars, and they teach evil. On the other hand over here, you have the true teacher, you have the Holy Spirit, and he speaks truth. He is completely pure, and there's nothing that is anything like a lie in him. There's no word of a lie in him at all. So given that the Holy Spirit is a teacher, let us be his students. Let me rephrase that. Let us be good students of the Holy Spirit, because good students are focused, they are diligent, and they work hard when it comes to their study. So let's be like that with the true teacher, the Holy Spirit. Let's be focused, let's be diligent, and let's be hardworking in the way that we listen to him and that we try and follow him in our lives. Let me pray. Lord, it's a different message that we've heard tonight, but it's certainly a relevant one. And it's so important to our faith, to our relationship with you, to get the message right, to know who you are, because we can use your name and be talking about somebody completely different to you. And so I pray that you would help us to understand the truth via Spirit. I pray for your protection for the people that are here, that you would guard them against false teaching. I pray that for myself as well. I pray that you would just be working in the hearts and the minds of people that are really wrestling with your nature and trying to understand who you are, but believing lies at the moment and just being discouraged by that. I pray for people around the world that fall into this category of false teachers. It's very challenging to think that they might be ferocious wolves on the inside. So Lord, I pray that you would work in their hearts as well, that you would draw them to yourself and that you would help them to turn from the lies that they speak. Help them to be honest with their congregations if they have them. Because we want people to know you, Lord. We want people to know you truly. And I'm angry. I'm angry, Lord, that people twist your words. And I'm sure you're angry too. Like, that's not, you know, it's so malicious to lead people astray. And if people are doing this, Lord, I pray that you'd turn them away from doing this, Lord. Protect your sheep, which you do a better job of doing than I do. But I just ask you to do this now, Lord, just to keep your church safe, preserve your people. And Lord, in the heart of this message is you, our relationships with you. And so I pray that you would help us to take this on board, this this call to prioritize you and to put you at the center of our lives. Please help me to do that. Please help these guys to do that, God, to put you right there in the middle and to just push out other distractions and to love you deeply. I just ask that you help us to do this and that you'd help us to experience the life that we can live, in you and for you. And so we just commit this time to you now, and we pray these things in Jesus' name.